You know, Scott, I've been thinking a lot lately about how quickly my focus gets derailed and drifts, especially from the things we've talked about and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, when I get derailed and I start focusing on other things, it feels heavy and it feels like I'm derailed. And when things don't go the way I expect them to do, I notice it's easy to kind of turn inward, and I almost feeling like a little insecure and feeling a little self-conscious. And I start looking around and, you know, worshiping that God of what other people think.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's bringing this up?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of, we've had a lot of funerals lately.
Yeah. Another one today.
Yeah. And, you know, people I work with have been going to a lot of funerals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I have an employee whose uncle was killed. Whose dad died. And so, I've been thinking about that a lot and just thinking about, what are people going to say at my funeral? Why am I thinking about that? I have no idea. Probably because I've been to funerals and they're in my
life. I think about that. when I go to somebody's funeral, it's probably just a... I don't know. Maybe everybody thinks this way. I hope they do, because it feels kind of self-centered. But I always sit there, and I don't know if I'm fantasizing or what, but I'm wondering, what will people say? What will Trevor say? What will Jessica say? What will each of the kids, what will they say? You know, not that they're all going to speak at my funeral per se, but, you know.
Yeah, it's just interesting how much I get derailed, literally, on worshiping the God of what other people think of me.
Right.
Like, it derails me. It's probably that I focus on it and then I'm like, why is this all of a sudden so important to me? You know, is this wrong? Why am I focusing on this so much? But I think it means that we're human. I mean, and living in a fallen world, I feel like, you know, I mean, New Year's resolutions and trying to do things right, I did it again. I got derailed. Whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, you know, we're going to get derailed. And I think it's important. I mean, last week we talked about weariness and silence and how we feel when our relationship is distant from Christ. And so I've kind of had that on my forefront, and then I'm like, derailed.
yeah.
I'm not thinking about Christ and what He thinks of me. I'm thinking about what's going to be spoken at my funeral. How come my life isn't in alignment? Like, this person's life is perfect, or the illusion of perfect. And I get that, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. But word, it has been in my face.
You know, today's funeral, I have those same experiences, right? I have the same fantasy when I go to a funeral. And if I'm sitting there and it's somebody who I've really looked up to, and it usually is, you know, and wonderful things are always said about people. Nobody ever says the bad things. But
we hope not.
Wonderful things are always said at funerals about these people. And I think, oh, I hope somebody can say that about me someday. Oh, I hope that... somebody can say, you know, and I'm going to just be honest. You know, there's times when I've thought, I wonder if they'll talk about me in my career. I wonder if they'll talk about me in all of my church service. I wonder if they'll talk about my recovery and how, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it starts turning inward. You use that word inward, starts turning inward. But I said, today's funeral was different than that for me. This was for a woman of one of our brothers-in-law, a wonderful, wonderful lady, and it wasn't like that. At this funeral, everything that was brought up was in comparing her to an attribute of the Savior.
Yeah.
And I got thinking at the end that nobody talked about making a lot of money. Nobody talked about, you know, all these wonderful achievements. Nobody talked about this grandiose life that somebody had lived. But maybe the most grandiose of all, in a quiet, quiet way, because I don't know how many times I had the impression she was really a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Well, that was spoken.
And it changed, at least in that moment, and in this, and still it remains in this moment, and I'm sure it will drift for me too, but in this moment now, I hope that at my funeral that I can be identified as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Nothing else mattered.
Yeah.
Nothing else yeah. mattered.
It was really cool.
Yeah, but I'm with you.
It was interesting how derailed I got, because when they were talking about what their grandkids are going to say, I'm like, they're going to say the crazy things I do. They're going to tell on me. They're going to teach them, they're going to talk about the crazy songs I teach them or
yeah,
something.
Well,
that's
every bit as endearing, and you know it is, and all that. But you know the point that you make about our spirit, kind of a spiritual drift, right? How mm-hmm. we have these feelings, and then all of a sudden, you know, we come off of potentially, you know, a plateau of the holidays. Maybe we've had some wonderful spiritual experiences, maybe not. But sometimes we just get to have that flatness, you know. And I think that what's happening here is the idea of attention, right? I think that it's our attention and where we place it that really matters.
Yeah, true. And it's like, and sometimes if I hyper-focus on it, like, yeah. why am I not feeling the spirit?
Right.
Why am I not yeah. getting emotionally touched by this song? Why am I not, you know, and I hyper-focus on it to the point that it, again, derails me. And it's like, okay, take a deep breath. It's okay. You know, and then I start questioning. Maybe it's my scripture studies light is not strong enough. Maybe I'm not praying enough or more fervently. Or maybe, you know, why does this feel harder for me sometimes than others?
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I think that that's, I think that's common. It is common. You know, you're not the only one. We're not the only ones. I'm not the only one either that feels that way. And I sometimes do too.
Sure.
You know, we go through that, and we know why we go through that. We go through it because we are experiencing the effects of the fall of Adam and Eve.
Right, right. And I think it is intensified in today's world with social media.
Oh.
I mean, I think it is so intensified because it's like, you know, I love to get on there and see what my friends and my family are up to, and I see people's lifestyles that are just far superior than what I could even imagine. And then I'm like, well, how come they got that and I didn't? I live righteously.
Yeah.
And then I go into that comparison again. And again, I know for a fact that comparison is the thief of joy.
Right.
And if I focus on it, I'm going to keep feeling that lack, and I'm going to keep feeling less than, and I'm going to keep feeling like I don't measure up, or feeling like I don't belong here, or whatever. And when I really like push pause and I really focus on it, I'm like, Deb, what the crap are you doing? Like, where are these questions coming from? Like, what? Well, and I told you before we even started this recording, I said, I'm going to get really vulnerable. Because these are really feelings.
That's not what you said.
What did I say?
You said, I'm not sure how vulnerable I'm willing to get tonight.
There you go. Well, here I am, getting vulnerable, telling
right.
on myself.
So, yeah. But you know, and I'm grateful that you are, and so are our listeners. Because, you know, this is something, Deb, that is common. This is not something that we just experience in a vacuum. It's not your own experience. I mean, your experience is your own experience, but you don't own it. I mean, everybody has similar experiences. I mean, we just do, because it's part of, again, the effects of the fall. We're cut off spiritually from our Heavenly Father, and because of that, because of the veil, we need to be reminded through conscious contact with our Heavenly Father of who we are, whose we are, and all those other things, right?
Well, and I think the other thing is my focus becomes more on me
yeah,
instead
it turns
of more
inward.
On Him.
That's the point, right?
You know, it's like, okay, where's my relationship?
Yeah,
and when I focus on me, I know that I'm in my control freak mode. It's like, I want to control people around me. I want to control the circumstance and the situation, and I want to be in the driver's seat,
yeah.
even though I know I don't want to be in the driver's seat. Saying that out loud makes me sound insane. I know. It's bananas. But it's like, I have to give myself some mercy. I really do. I have to go, you know what, Deb? It doesn't make me weak. It makes me human. And I know I'm not alone here.
That's 100% right. And we got to remember, and I hadn't planned to do this, so I'm throwing a curveball at you, Deb, but in Luke chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 39. Now, this is Mary and Martha.
This is my favorite.
I love it, too.
I
was thinking, we talked about this last podcast, but we didn't. I taught it in Gospel Doctrine the week prior.
Oh, we've talked about it before because I love this
right,
scripture.
Right. But this is Mary and Martha, you know, obviously very close friends of Jesus, sisters to Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead. And she had a sister called Mary, meaning Martha, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Mary was sitting at his feet and hearing his word, right? Which is such so much there. There's so much doctrine, so much invitation
being
extended to each of us right there. This is when, remember a few weeks ago when we talked about the cross and the vertical beam and the horizontal beam and the vertical post and the relationship there and how sometimes we get stuck in the horizontal. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
The inwardness, and that's what Martha, you know, was doing. Mary was focused on the vertical, the relationship with Jesus. And then, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she should help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her.
You know, in my scriptures, I crossed out Martha, Martha, and wrote Deborah, Deborah.
Did you?
I really did. Because I can so relate to that.
Yeah,
that busyness and that control. And listen, I'm trying to get stuff done.
But that can show up in other ways besides busyness and control. That's my point, you know.
Yeah.
That inward looking is busyness, for sure, sometimes. It can be control, sometimes for sure, because, you know, control comes from fear. Fear is inward generated, no question. Fear and faith can't live in the same place. I can find that in Scripture, but I know exactly where it is in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous,
yeah.
Because I was just going through it the other day and working steps again with a couple of sponsees, and that was one of those things that are just so important for us to understand, and I think it really relates to all of this. Because when we talk about our inward relationship with ourselves, this is where things really start beginning to implode, right? When I'm self-consumed, when all this other stuff, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm self-centered overall. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm narcissistic overall. Can it? Sure. But it's not necessarily those indictments. It's just a small drift sometimes where the accuser can jump right in and create that inward focus, taking the focus away from where our focus should be. And you know, remembering where our focus should be, what we focus on expands.
Yeah.
And if I'm focusing on my inward problems, then I'm just going to feel like I have more inward problems. But if somehow, through the relationship that I established with Jesus and his Father and the Holy Ghost, I know that as I focus on that relationship, then the things that come from them begin to expand. And sometimes that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be healed in the moment, not even in the situation, maybe not even in the season, maybe not even in mortality. But I'll be given the strength that comes and can only come through a relationship with him.
And, you know, even knowing that and understanding that, I still get derailed.
And
I was
we
thinking
will.
About, yeah, and I was thinking about my car has this thing that if I turn the lane thing on, it'll beep, 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 beep out at me if I get out of my lane. And it's like, I wonder if there's a spiritual button I can push that will beep, 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 beep at me when I'm getting derailed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I know it's a personal inventory. I have to put the mirror in front of my face and really be conscientious of that and go and start my day with my relationship. You know, get the second I wake up, fall on my knees and start my relationship immediately to get me back on the track.
Right.
And I think that's the most important thing is remembering.
Yep.
You know, just focusing on, because what I do focus on growth. And when I start my day off in my scriptures and fervent, like heartfelt prayers, my day goes better because that's my focus. But when I jump out of bed, I'm a little bit late and I'm running here and doing that. I what I'm focusing on keeps growing. And then I get derailed all day, it seems like. And then I have to just kind of push pause and look up and go, ah, I need a do-over. Let's restart today.
That's right. Start my day over.
Yes.
We talked about that a couple
p.m.
episodes
ago. I'm starting
ago.
Over.
Yeah. Big Al taught me that in AA. Yeah, and I think that's all valid, you know. Not just start our day over, but start our day over, like you said, start our day over with Jesus. Start our day over with Christ. Start our day over with an invitation to have His Spirit always to be with me. Just a realignment.
Yep. You know those little Jesuses that everybody's finding?
I found another one the other day in the airport.
It's so interesting. And I think about this, and my sweet sister Beck that talks about everybody needs a little more Jesus.
Yeah.
We just need a little Jesus. And so whenever I see those little figurines, and I don't know for all of you, they're little, maybe half an inch, maybe inch at the most. Mm. Little figurines. They're almost rubber.
They're rubber.
Of Jesus.
When you say figurine, I think of like ceramic.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, it's what would you call it?
It's rubber. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like an eraser almost, but it's not. But.
And it's of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, it
and,
is.
And, when
and they're various, they're different ones, different color sash.
Yes. And people are putting them all over.
I know.
And what you're supposed to do is if you find one, you're supposed to hide it in another place so people can find Jesus. I mean, this is a thing that's going on in the world, and I'm probably late in the game, and you all listeners probably already know all about this, but I didn't know about it. And so Scott was bringing some home, and we're like putting some on our Christmas tree, and my grandkids are telling me, Grammy, you're not supposed to keep them. You're supposed to hide them again so people can find Jesus.
Yeah, that spreading like, Jesus is the...
But I think that's a sweet little reminder that, you know, it's the beep, 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 oh, there's Jesus kind of idea.
Yeah. I think we actually have kind of those redirective mechanisms built in. And sometimes that redirective mechanism can be such a quiet intrusion of our normality or normal life, if you will, or whatever, that it just comes in and just sneakily gets us, and we call it a drift. You know, we're just drifting. And then pretty soon we realize... So the moment that we notice the drift, that can be the beep. You know, it's not loud. It's quiet.
Yeah.
Nothing about the Spirit's going to be loud.
I know. I just want it to yell at me.
No, I'm building on your example because I think that's a wonderful example. I think that we have those and we should, decide what are the things in my life that give me those flashing warnings. They're not going to be loud. So when I feel just disconnected, rather than thinking, wow, what am I doing wrong, you know, and focusing on a self-degrading, self-indicting inventory. Now, I think we have to be honest with ourselves for sure, and we have to be willing to take a look at where we are wrong and then promptly admit it and make changes where we need to, for example. But I think that when we are in that space, rather than go into self-indictment, that we just are willing to stay. And because we know what we know about Him because of our relationship and the experiences that we've had with Him, we know that He's with us even in that. And we know that sometimes we need to be in it, and we always need Him with us in it or out of it. And I think that can be helpful for us.
For me, it's seeking Him. And even though it's just like, okay, I always go to the sacrament prayer of that willingness.
Ah.
It's like, okay, I just got to go to willingness. I'm willing. God, I'm willing. Just work with me. I'm so human. I live in this fallen world, and I am a very fallen human. I just, please be patient with me because I really am willing.
Well, and in the sacrament prayer, what are we willing to do? We're willing to take His name upon us.
Yeah,
and taking His name upon us,
so that we can always have His Spirit to be with us.
That's
too.
Right. Yeah,
and that's the piece that it's like I want all of that to come together, but I want it right now,
and I want it on my terms.
I know.
Yeah,
I relate to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you know, sometimes I just have to be okay, being still. I'm still willing. I'm still praying. I may not be feeling the, you know, powerful spiritual experiences that I really want to feel in the moment, but I know he's there.
Right.
I truly know he's there.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that invites the spirit the quickest for me is when I go to gratitude. And I've said this so many times, but tonight is another example. I park my car at work in an underground parking. And when I pull out of the underground parking, I'm facing southwest. And I am wowed, literally audible. Like, I'm in my car by myself, and I'm like, oh, wow, at these sunsets.
Yeah.
Like, gratitude. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for such a beautiful sunset. And I think gratitude is the very first thing that brings me back to, puts me back in focus, puts me back on track with my relationship with Jesus and my relationship with Heavenly Father.
When I practice gratitude, and sometimes I have to practice it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just not, just, it doesn't just pop up for me. It's not just super easy, you know. But when I practice gratitude, everything changes for me. And that also, Deb, draws me closer to Him. Gratitude even when things don't seem like there's much to be grateful for.
Yeah. Well, gratitude isn't pretending.
Well, you know.
It's not pretending or minimizing your pain or sorrow or grief that you're going through. And it's not forcing that, you know, positivity. Yes, this is a great day, even though it sucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not comparing suffering. Oh, I had way worse a day than you did, kind of thing. That's not what gratitude is.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I had a way better day.
Exactly.
You know, I'm thankful I'm not him, or I'm thankful I'm
not
her. Or I'm
exactly.
Thankful, but for the grace of God. Now, but for the grace of God, that is a deep debt of gratitude that I have to think quite a bit, especially as I'm working with others in Alcoholics Anonymous and other recovery programs, because I have to think that, and that is my gratitude. But for the grace of God, there go I. And I'm grateful that because of my relationship that I'm having a different experience. But you're right. You know what else gratitude isn't? It's not me being your cheerleader spiritually or you being my cheerleader spiritually. You know, sometimes gratitude isn't jumping jacks and lollipops and butterflies.
Pom-poms.
I'm so grateful. And I think that's gratitude too. But sometimes gratitude is just, you know what, today I didn't spiral completely out of control.
Yeah.
And I could have, you know, or I made it through the day today. Yeah, you know what gratitude is for a still suffering alcoholic who's brand new in recovery, and I know a lot of them right now. It happens every time, every year at this time, it seems like. But for some of them is, I just made it through the day without a drink.
Yeah.
Or a drug. Or I made it through the day without a fit of anger. Or I made it through the day without a suicidal ideology. Or I made it through the day without wondering, are you really there? You know,
and do you hear an answered prayers?
Yeah,
we asked that.
Yeah, so
I mean, it's just aligning.
For me, when I'm like that, my gratitude shows up most when I have eyes to see, and I have to make the choice sometimes to have those eyes, and it requires effort on my part. But when I have eyes to see the tender mercies, the instruments of grace that the Spirit of the Holy Ghost has administered through the atonement of Jesus Christ in my life, that, for me, is real gratitude. When I have felt that, you know. In addition to, you know, some of that, one of the things that I think that really helps for me is when I think about, and I think it would be a good idea. I don't do this. I do a inventory journal. Maybe I should start doing this type of a journal. But what if we kept a journal or a record of, when did I feel held by Him? When did I feel last held quietly even by Him? We had an experience just recently where somebody sent a text to somebody that we know, and they have gone back to partaking of the sacrament and the renewing of covenants and various things. And they said when they walked into the church after many years of being absent, that they felt held by Him. And that He said, welcome home. This is where you belong.
You know, even, you know, we think of, and we've talked about we're in a fallen world and we're in a fallen state, but you know, after teaching the divine gift of forgiveness the last 5 years, you know, it has taught me to be grateful for the fall. And I think that was such a pivotal time for me to literally be grateful for the fall so that I know sorrow and I know joy.
Yeah.
That I know good and evil.
Right.
I'm so grateful for this opportunity because, again, being at these funerals, go, you graduated. You get to go on. You get to go to the next part, you know, the next portion of your, you know, pillar of existence or whatever. But it's like we sometimes, I've never been taught or never even thought to be grateful for the fall of Adam and Eve. You know, oftentimes we curse it. That darn weeds and those, that the pain in birth, childbirth, and Adam and Eve. And
well,
you know what? I'm grateful.
Yeah, restoration scripture and modern day prophets have really helped us to understand the fall of Adam and Eve, that it's truly one of the pillars of eternity.
Yeah.
The creation, the fall, the atonement.
There it is.
Right? Of Jesus Christ,
yep,
the pillars
yep.
of eternity. And you know, the fall was a plan. And the fall was put into place so that we could have these experiences and so that we could understand. And we'll talk more about this potentially next week. We need to talk about the fall of Adam and Eve.
For sure.
And we'll talk about how that this was all put into place so that we could understand our need for a Redeemer.
And dependency.
Absolutely.
We need 100% to be
dependent on Him, whether we even know it or not.
Even our own breath.
Even if we know it or not,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And I think that that's it. You know, the drift, let's not let that be our focus.
Yeah. I think, and I don't think gratitude has to be loud. I think it can just be a quiet, you know, Heavenly Father, thank you.
Yeah.
And again, what we focus on grows. And, you know, sometimes I have to take a personal inventory during the day and just say, what am I focusing on? Am I focusing on what other people think? Or am I focusing on my relationship with my Savior?
Right. And that's where the drift ends. Or if the drift continues or the drift feels like it's continuing, that's where we have the companionship to help us in it.
Yeah, He's going to help us. And even if we're in mess and hard and dirty situations that we don't see the end of, I promise and I testify that He will show up for you if you ask. He's not going to defile our agency, go against our agency. And He's not going to just jump in. But if we plead and if we ask for Him to be with us, I testify He will be there in that dirt and the mud and the pain and the grief and the sorrow because He showed up for me. And I know that He does. And we may not get the answers immediately. And we may have to wait. And again, it might not be in this lifetime, but He never leaves us alone, ever. He will never leave us. He knows what that feels like. And so amongst our challenges and our trials, call upon Him, focus on Him, focus on that relationship, focus on that connection with Him so that He can be with us and me always, always, that we may always have His Spirit to be with us. And sometimes, just remember, being willing is enough. You're not failing. You're not behind. He really is closer than you think.
As we wrap things up today, I just want to say thanks for being with us. You know, I know you feel this. You know we feel this. This is something that we're all going to feel from time to time throughout our mortal existence. The important thing is that we remember where to put our focus. When we focus on our problems will expand because it becomes an inward issue. When we focus on the solution, and the solution is Jesus Christ, the answer to every question, every problem, according to President Nelson in a talk given not that long ago, is Jesus Christ. The answer to everything. I believe that, and I testify that it's true. So let's this week, let's not try to feel more. Let's not measure our discipleship by our emotions. Let's measure it rather by our faith and by our relationship with them. And let's gently redirect that attention, our focus towards Jesus Christ. And remember that whatever we look at expands. Whatever we look at grows.
We love you, friends. Thank you for listening and being with us.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. We'll see you again next week. And until then...